All right, let's go ahead and begin tonight with prayer. Father in heaven, I want to ask now that you would help me to speak only things that are true. Help me to know what is true. Help me to be able to teach in such a way tonight as that those sitting here can understand. Pray that you would just bless your people and help us to walk in your ways. Mold us, Father, into what you would want us to be. Amen. This will be our last final session on modesty, and we're going to cover a couple of just odd random items, and then finish with something that I believe is what most girls have against modesty the most, because most girls believe that modesty is going to hinder their beauty. I personally believe just exactly the opposite. And if it is true that modesty increases your beauty, let's get the subject fixed here so we can not only be in the will of God, but we can enjoy what God gave to us. So we are going to start very quickly with a review of last week. Well, sometimes it's very difficult to learn new things fast. So we're gonna go over last week one more time. The question that we had for us right at the beginning, one of the first sessions we did, we went over the question of how guys relate to girls. And the fact that guys may not, cannot ever in any way relate to any girl besides one who would happen to be their wife in a physical manner. In a manner where he would put interest in her body through his eyes, through his heart, through any of his feelings. He has to stay completely divorced and separated from her body. No guy, it is adultery in the heart, Jesus says. If a guy looks on a girl to desire her, okay? Now, if that is adultery, it is equally adultery for a girl to dress in such a way as to get that look, okay? That is adultery in the same exact way that it is adultery for a man to look. It is adultery in the heart. You're asking for something you have no business having from that guy. Some girls will explain on this subject, you know, they want to dress in such a way as that they will be sexy so they can get a guy. Okay, now, in that situation, the girl is not looking to get the attention of all the men in the world. She's looking to get attention from a guy so she can get married. Is that right or wrong? Well, okay, obviously it's wrong. And the reason that is wrong is because she is putting out stuff for sale that she has no business offering out. And the one guy who chooses to marry her it's okay if he wants that stuff. But every other guy has to put up with looking at it all day long for the rest of the while she's for sale on the shelf. It is absolutely impossible for you girls to be both modest and sexy in your dress. It is absolutely impossible, and it is sin to try. Trying to be sexy in dress to get guys' attention, to get guys to like you and to look at you, is adultery. Now, on that basis, based on the list that we went over last week, I didn't actually really give you the list. I basically told you the idea of the modesty talk that the guys in this church had on a Wednesday night here, we sat down and we discussed the issue, what parts of a girl turn a guy on. If a girl isn't dressed fully, what makes a guy look? What is too intense to be out for public viewing? And so this is the basic conclusion that we came to last week, my conclusion. Let me give this girl some knees so that we can all agree exactly what we're looking at. What we are doing with this girl is we're going to give her minimum standards of modesty to be decent in public, okay? That means she's going to be covered below the knees, she's going to be covered past the armpit, and she's going to have a pretty high neckline, okay? Anything between those marks on this girl, if she exposes herself anywhere in between those marks in public, she is asking for a guy to look in the wrong way at her body. But we went further, and we have to go further than that, because unfortunately, if we hold these standards as what we have to do to dress modestly, we have to put those standards farther than that, because we've got holes here at the bottom that we can see up. We've got holes here in the sleeve that we can see in. And we've got holes here in the neck that we can see down. And so this is what I take as a very basic standard, that we should have clothes on somewhere, if it's a skirt, so there actually is a hole you can see up, somewhere in the range of about halfway between the knee and the ankle. Okay, I'm not going to specify that as an exact length, but I'm going to say somewhere about halfway. We're going to have sleeves on that are long enough or tight enough, one or the other, that you cannot see up the sleeve. Okay, and we are going to have a neckline on that is at least t-shirt height. Anything that is lower than a standard t-shirt, I don't have a t-shirt on, anything that is lower than a standard t-shirt, with the exception, I did make an exception of a cotton shirt that has buttons all the way up to the top. If you leave the very top button unbuttoned, that comes just about an inch or so below t-shirt level. And at a normal size, on a normally spaced button shirt, I think that is still in the realm of decency. So we're talking basically t-shirt height for a neckline. And the reason that we are putting these standards out a little further is because the simple fact that any girl who dresses to the very possible minimum that she thinks she can be still decent in public is showing off way more than she ever knows she is showing. Unfortunately, that show is sometimes of the most extreme for guys. Very immodest versus mostly modest affect guys in two completely different ways. If a girl were to walk in this room right now and walk up here to the front row and sit down in the front row dressed in a swimsuit, every guy in this room would feel completely uncomfortable having her sit there. We would feel like we were out of place. We would feel like we were supposed to leave the room because there was an undressed girl in the room. We would be extremely conscious of the fact that she was sitting there, and we probably would try not even to look her direction. That would be our basic reaction to that happening in a place like this. But if a girl comes in the room, mostly modest, but just not totally. Maybe she's only got a skirt on that is halfway to the knee, and her shirt is just a snug-fitting t-shirt. So you don't look at her and see all this nakedness. You look at her and you feel at least like she's dressed. But she's dressed in such a way as that every movement she makes and every time you see her, your mind and your heart, your body maybe goes gaga over what you're seeing because it's really too pretty to look at. But your guard is broken down because she's mostly dressed. Now we guys face that in Christian circles a lot because we know that the girls who walk around the world half naked are wrong. But the people who come to our churches, the people who are going to conservative churches have higher standards than this. And so they want to, they're going to come up a little bit from the standard of the world. But many Christians, and actually this church is actually very, very decent, okay? I do not approve of every single item that every single girl in our church wears, okay? I think there's some lack here that could be brought up. But this church is very, very decent compared to even many other conservative churches around. And many of these girls, while they will maybe not go to the beach in a swimsuit, they'll still wear a tight-fitting t-shirt, which is underclothes. A t-shirt is not a public garment, okay? We covered that last week also. If I came to church in a pair of long underwear without pants on, all the girls would be embarrassed out of their senses. Okay? And the reason that it's not okay for guys to dress that way is because a guy putting his body in the face of a girl is disgusting. The reason that we think it is okay for girls to put their body in our face is because we think it's pretty and we want to see it. All right? That is the only reason that public morals have that distinction between guys and girls. But it's wrong. A tight-fitting t-shirt is underclothes. It is nothing else. It does not belong in public. I personally take the stand against t-shirts altogether. I don't think girls should dress in t-shirts, but there are exceptions to that rule. There is actually such a thing as a girl in a t-shirt that is modest. They're few and far between. I'm not going to slap you in the face if you are wearing one. It's my basic principle. What I would teach my family and require of my wife is t-shirts are not public clothes on a girl. They are too thin and too conforming, even if they are loose. But the fact of the matter is, girls have this insane fear of being fat, and it's almost impossible to get girls to wear loose clothes. They like their clothes snug. If you're going to wear your clothes snug at all, you better wear something very thick and heavy. Otherwise, you better keep a little bit of space between your body and your clothes just to keep decent. Your clothes should not form fit you. If it were right to wear form fitting clothes, it would be right to go into the auto parts store and buy yourself a can of spray paint, go in the bathroom, undress, cover yourself with paint, and come out. All right? It's just not right. It doesn't matter that you're covered. It doesn't matter that there's color there. We can't see the shape of a girl's body. We guys can't see the shape of a girl's body without thinking very beautiful thoughts about it. It's the way girls are built, okay? Be careful not to go from the standard, not to come up to the standard of mostly modest, but fall short, because you're probably in some ways worse there. A couple of things that now we'll start going into some of these random ideas. A short skirt that is too short to be modest on, with something underneath it to finish the problem of the fact that you're going to show up the skirt, does not constitute modesty if the something underneath it is skin tight. Okay, I've seen lots of girls who believe that it is not modest to wear a skirt that is maybe to the knee. But so they will compromise and wear a skirt around the knee length, and then they'll put leggings on underneath as though that helps. If your skirt is so short that you need leggings on underneath, then whatever you put on underneath to cover up what you're going to show when your skirt is showing up needs to be able to be worn if you were to take the skirt off entirely. All right? Otherwise, it's not modest. That's an absolute. Another thing that is built around the flesh and it's built very much on girls' emotions, but is sin, is any sort of shapewear, okay? Any kind of thing that you can buy from the store that is going to reshape your body has one purpose only. It is to make yourself look beautiful below the neck. All right? This is what we're saying is sin. To make yourself attractive in your body by putting it out in the face of guys is wrong. It is adulterous. Any kind of shapewear actually has two things wrong with it. First of all, you are using your body to be appealing. Second of all, you are lying to your potential suitor if you are an unmarried girl. I honestly put makeup in that same category to a maybe not quite as dramatic degree, but I think that it really belongs there. Girls wear makeup to hide who they really are, for the most part. That's the main reason, to hide who they really are. Now, if you are single and you are looking for a boyfriend, you want a guy who loves who you are. You don't want a guy who loves the fake you that you put out in front of the public. Because if that is who you marry and that is who he loves, when you actually get married and he finds the real you, he's going to be very disappointed. One of the number one pieces of clothes that I'm going to mention specifically that girls wear as shapewear is push-up bras. They have one very simple purpose, to enlarge the size of your chest, because it is one of the hottest spots of a girl's body in the eyes of guys. It is something that lights fire anywhere it goes. It is something that girls, as a general rule in the world, put on display for the public because it is beautiful. It's always sin to put it on display and to intentionally enlarge the look so as to be tempting towards guys is sin. It is wrong. If any of you girls own a push-up bra, that push-up bra is of the devil. It is wrong, and you need to go home and burn it. Okay? It is a sinful piece of clothes. I don't care who you are. It is sin. It is also a lie. It is a lie. It is absolutely a lie. I don't care if you're not even doing it for guys. If you're just doing it for yourself because it makes you feel better, it is a lie. You can't wear it and be right. High heels is another thing that guys, I don't personally see high heels myself as being a very sexy article of clothes, but guys in general kind of regard them that way. They are shown that way in the advertisements from the world as being those kind of clothes. And I think that in general, high heels, because they are purposeless in the first place, what is the point of something that is purposeless? They really belong in a category of show clothes that are meant for improper attraction. I'm going to tell you right now that any clothes that are worn for show, that do not have any other purpose for them besides show, are already, if not in the category, they are leaning towards the category of fleshly lust that war against the soul. Okay? You do have a body. Your body is not sin. If you are a girl, your body is very beautiful. But it absolutely is intended for one person only. And any use of that body for any purposes with any guy other than a person you are going to marry is wrong. So if you are using your body for purposes besides what God gave it to you, you need to mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit so that you can live. Because if you live according to the deeds of the flesh, you're going to die, we read in Romans. Those were some random things that we had not covered before I wanted to cover, but we're going to now cover something that almost half the people on the face of the earth who ever cover the subject of modesty put as one of the number one top things, and it is a false thing, because it is absolutely unconnected with modesty, and that is specifically the head covering. So let's talk about that for a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 15 we read, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering." Now, half of the people that will ever deal with the subject of modesty at all take the head covering as the number one thing that a girl needs to do to be modest, because God gave her the command to cover her hair. Okay, unfortunately, God did not give her that command. Actually, God gave her the command to cover her head. Okay? When she prays and prophesies. The one of the things that is used to determine the fact that a woman's hair needs to be covered is this verse that we read. If she has long hair, it is a glory to her, the Bible says. And so we jump on this verse and we say, well, this is her beauty. It's meant for her husband only. That means every other time she needs to wear it up and covered. Now, I am not going to say, because I don't know the heart of God and everything, I am not going to say that God, as an absolute, had no intentions whatsoever of dealing with anything on the subject of modesty when he gave this passage on head coverings. I don't know that. It is a slight possibility that there was something in this passage on head coverings that a girl wearing a head covering would help to keep her into a modest attitude, would help to keep her spirit right. It may be, it may not be. I don't actually know that. But one thing that I do know for sure is there is not a single word in the scriptures anywhere that would indicate to us that a girl needs to have her hair up or covered. Okay, the scripture does not deal with the subject. Now I'm going to deal with that subject also from the eyes of guys, because for the most part, when we talk about the subject of modesty, we are dealing with this subject through the eyes of guys, because the Bible does not define to us exactly what is modest and what is not. So we're looking at how guys look at girls. I have never one time in my entire life ever heard of a guy say that a girl was seductive by having her hair down or uncovered. Okay, I have never heard that. Girls' hair is very beautiful, but it does not give the same effect to a guy's body that the rest of her body does. All right? It is a proper piece of a girl's body. It is very beautiful. Her face is very beautiful also. And to have her face showing uncovered and her hair down makes a girl very attractive and very beautiful. But you as a guy virtually have to intentionally think thoughts about a girl that are evil when you see a girl who is well-dressed and clothed by just looking at her face and her hair. Now, it's different. A girl's hair can be extremely, extremely attractive, and any other sweet word you want to say about it, when you really start flipping over a girl. But that, in that situation, is a time when it is fine to go forward. If she is a single girl and you are a single guy and this girl is actually attracting you and you like her, go ahead and think anything you want about how pretty her hair is. Hair in general is not the kind of a thing that puts you out there as a come get me kind of a toy. Okay? Let's look at a couple passages of scripture. There is a very sweet girl talked about in the scriptures, whose name was Mary. I want to look at something she did in Luke chapter 7. Luke Luke chapter 7 and verse 36 says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment." Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner this woman is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Verse 48 says, and this is Jesus now speaking to this girl, "He said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Now we have a woman who, the Bible says she was a sinner. We know, as a matter of fact, that everybody is a sinner. Okay, nobody ever was born. Nobody ever came to Christ. Christ never talked to a person that wasn't a sinner. So when this passage says that she was a sinner, it means something more than she was ordinary. It means that she was living a life of shame. She was almost certainly a harlot. There isn't hardly any other place of a category that you could put her into. That's probably who she was. She comes to Jesus, her hair is down, and she washes his feet with her tears, dries them with her hair, and besides the tears and the hair, she's kissing his feet. I think it would be the funnest thing on the face of the earth to watch a harlot come in and do that to a Mennonite bishop. I wonder what he would do. I think it would be quite the scene. However, the fact of the matter is, this girl did not do anything here that was wrong. In fact, the only thing she was doing was repenting of her sins and acknowledging a Savior. That was all there was there. You say, well, it's interesting that Jesus didn't tell her, "Now when you go home, please put your hair up and get it covered." But you know, the story goes on about her. In John chapter 11, we find out who this girl actually was, because this passage didn't tell us. But in John chapter 11, verse 2 says, well, verse 1, we'll read verse 1. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So this woman who comes into this Pharisee's house at this time was Mary. You know what's very interesting? That when John wrote his book, he had never told that story. Why is he referring to this? Why is he referring to that story here as though everybody knows it? See, that's just one thing that proves inspiration. This was not an individual book. This was a piece of a book. Anyway, John points out to us the fact that Mary was the person who came into that Pharisee's house that day and anointed the Lord's feet and wiped his feet with her hair. But then we move on to John chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Then 6 days before the Passover, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." Mary is a saved girl now. She was forgiven the day she came in. And saw Christ. She's living now a pure life. She's living the life of a Christian. But she hasn't changed her love for Christ, nor has she put her hair up. In fact, she's still getting into trouble with boys. She's still got her hair down, touching guys with it. Now, the fact of the matter is, I'm telling you guys something that might even shock some not-so-conservative people. What Mary did there to Jesus wasn't only right for a girl to do to Jesus. Okay? This picture that we have here, it was a picture of Christ with a human being. But Christ did not sin. And what Mary did to Christ was a proper relationship between a guy and a girl if there would be occasion to have it. All right? I know it's very disrespectable for the Mennonite church to believe that foot washing is an ordinance, and the strong stand that they take on the fact that it can only a man can wash a man's feet, and only a woman's feet. The fact of the matter was, when Jesus said that we should be servants and that we should wash each other's feet, if a guy needs his feet washed and he walks into a house where there are girls there, and a girl wants to obey that command to be a servant, she should be washing that guy's feet. Okay, and it's not something improper. Touching a guy's feet is a respectful and a decent act if you are a respectable person and he is a respectable person. Okay, you could do wrong with it too. I'm just saying, this is not something that belongs to Christ only. This is something that is proper in relationship between guys and girls. End of the story. I do not believe that there is a single word in the scripture that would give us any reason to believe that having your hair up or covered has anything to do with modesty.
Hey, Timothy, I remember when your dad had a date with this woman, Mennonites. Your dad quoted Martin Luther as saying, "It's a lovely scene to see the young maiden with her long flowing hair, or long flowing mule hair." And then I went back and said, "Yeah, that's why they shouldn't do it." And your dad went back and said, "Yes, it is beautiful. Not
that's right. That's absolutely right. And I said something very disgusting the first session that we had, when I said that instead of this cake of desserts here, where you have to distance yourself from them all and not look at them because you're going to want them, instead we should be able to look at every one of those desserts, be satisfied with the one we are eating, love the sight of the rest of them, and be able to relate properly. And I do, and I believe that when a girl gets into a state of modesty, she is in a place that every guy can actually look at her, believe she is beautiful, enjoy the way she looks, and have no ill or wrong feelings about her. That is a proper relationship between boys and girls. There's nothing wrong with a girl being beautiful. And if you guys don't want guys thinking you're beautiful, if you girls rather don't want guys thinking you're beautiful, get out of the world. Because if you're around me, I'm probably going to think you're pretty. Another random subject. Let's imagine that skirts that are maybe shorter than they should be are worn by the world to be immodest, but they're not by you as a Christian. Because you as a Christian are simply living thrifty, and you buy your stuff at the thrift shop, and you've got a limited amount of choices. It's all you could find to buy. You've been to all the stores, and it's as long as they're making. Or, I don't have much money. Our bills are always, we're always struggling to pay bills, and I already have this piece of clothes. Or somebody gave it to me. None of those reasons are a good excuse. We must determine what clothes are right and what clothes are wrong, and go to any length that we have to go, if we have to go to lengths, to get into the right clothes. Now, I'm not going to push this point to the absolute nth degree. If you're wearing something that you think is okay, maybe you don't think it's a standard of perfection, but it's okay. If it is okay, it's okay. All right? Something that is okay is okay. If it's not okay, it's not okay. But if it's actually okay, then you say, maybe I wouldn't buy one like this again because I think it's too close to the border, but I'm going to wear it because I've got it. If it's okay, it's okay. You don't have to make excuses for something that's okay. But if it's not okay, the Mennonites have taken the strong, strong stand that because the way clothes are done is so wrong, it is sin for a girl to buy store-bought clothes. We have to sew our own. And that is ridiculous. The fact of the matter is, Nikki wears clothes as long and as modest as any Mennonite church that I have ever come in contact with. And we buy all of her clothes from the store. But we'll admit, it's not easy. It's a struggle. Fact of the matter is, this is for you girls. If any of you guys disagree with this, just shut your mouth for once. Let the girls have their way. Fact of the matter is, you girls absolutely love to shop anyway, for pity's sakes. If you love to shop so much, then spend the time you need to spend to find the clothes that are actually wearable. All right? They're out there. They're actually out there in quite abundance. But we find, when me and Nikki go shopping for clothes, we find that we will go into up to 6 to 8 stores in a single time, and we will get 1 or 2 pieces of clothes at each store. That's about the best you can do, because they don't make a lot of very modest clothes, but they do make plenty of them that you can buy. The fact that you have clothes that are wrong, or somebody gave them to you, or that you need to shop at the thrift shop because clothes are too expensive to buy, and you only have certain, and you've got a certain budget, none of those reasons are an excuse to sin. All right, if the clothes you're wearing are not modest, they are sin. Then you need to do whatever you need to do to be right. Now, at the end of the day, what happens when a girl completely throws out the idea of being attractive with her body in public? Completely believes that idea is of the flesh. It has to die. We have to live in the spirit. We cannot use our body to be attractive to guys at all. What if we believe that? And so we are going to try to dress in such a way as is not going to put our bodies on display so that we can relate properly to everybody. What happens? Well, the fact of the matter is, let's cover one other thing really quick. Do you know that girls have always been, from the beginning of creation, owned by men? As a general rule, it's kind of the way God created things. Guys rule over girls. They do in the marriage relationship. They do for the most part in most authority. But for sure in the marriage relationship, guys tend to own girls world over. It has been a fact of history that girls have been mistreated and abused all over the world, all since the beginning of creation. Men have used them, abused them, played with them, and then made them serve them and work for them. And you go to some heathen countries, you'll find the men living in houses by themselves, and you'll find the women and the dogs and the pigs living in houses together. These women are toys that they keep out with their animals. Now, that's a bad situation, but actually the fact of the matter is, I want to tell you something. Women are being treated like that in America today, but in a slightly more sophisticated sense. When civilization, Christian civilization, took over certain countries after the Reformation and the effects of Christianity began to shape the effects of government, and things began to be peaceful. What happened in those countries was that those countries started to be called the women's paradise. These countries were places where women were treated with respect and dignity, and where they were taken good care of. And England and America both had that reputation in the past. But today, as we have gotten away from God and we have gotten away from the scriptures, women are being used in extremely mistreated ways, basically as toys. But we can't really right now get away with actually hurting them or abusing them unless we're a really bad guy who wants to get in and out of jail and stuff. So what we are doing today in America is we are using the sex aspect of a girl's body to defame them, to make them worthless people, to make them nothing more than something that is to play with, to make them personal property, to be there for us when we want them, and not there for us when we're supposed to take care of them. And so today we have an epidemic in the United States of America of single people. An epidemic of single people. It used to be, it was the normal thing for people to be getting married at 18 years old, if they weren't already married when they were 14 or 16. Today, most girls, I shouldn't say most because I don't actually know the numbers, but today a huge percentage of girls are not getting married until they are 30. Why? Because the girls are submitting to letting the guys have what they want without offering to take care of them. That's why. It is absolute abuse. It is absolute abuse. We are using girls today in America for toys to get everything that we want, and we are refusing to give them what God told us we owe them. And in fact, as you get down into the lower life of America today, actually, there are many, many, many thousands of men who don't deserve the name of man, who are living together with a girl unmarried, and she is supporting him. By the hundreds, the thousands, men are living that way all over America. They've got computer games, they've got who knows what, they've got fun to have, and they've got a girl as one of the toys they own. And isn't it nice that she can work a job and provide the money so that they can spend more time with their toys? Now, I don't want to say that those guys should be shot, but they should be. Sorry, guys. They should be. The real beauty that a girl possesses when she is in her place, when she is proper and decent and dressed, the real beauty that she possesses does not have a strong appeal to the body of a guy. It is not something that is out there in your face that cries for you to go beyond the limits of where you belong. Now, I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10, and I want to read a principle, a verse that has nothing to do with the subject that we're talking about, but it lays down a principle that I believe absolutely applies to every aspect of your Christian life, and certainly as well to this aspect. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." I do believe that this is a principle that carries throughout our Christian life. God being the one who designed the world, God being the one who designed you, God being the one who designed male and female and designed them to work together, the fact that God designed all these things is proof in and of itself that God designed them to work in righteousness. All right? God did not design something that didn't work well. If we get in step with the principles of God, we are going to find that giving up the things of this life, and these things that are listed in this passage aren't wrong things. So remember, we already discussed this at the beginning. A girl's body isn't sinful. Okay, it's just supposed to be clothed, according to the scriptures. These things that Jesus asked people to give up, said, if you're going to be my disciple, give all this stuff up. None of these things were sin. But it was a matter of somebody trading out what was theirs to serve Christ. And when you do that, when you give up what is yours, even if you might think it's your right, like your wife and your children, Jesus says, there is no man that has left these things, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Okay? And in the world to come, eternal life. Serving God brings benefits. When you get in step with the scriptures and do what God told you to do, there is benefits there that you don't even know about. We have gone over the subject of beauty many times, and I did not rewrite out any of those verses. I was not planning to have the time to cover it tonight, but you all remember very well some of the stuff we have studied, and the fact that Sarah is held up as an example in the scriptures as somebody who was beautiful on the inside, and she was so pretty at 90 years old that Abraham was worried about people coming after his 90-year-old wife, and this is a principle that I believe in as an absolute, that when a girl is set free by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when she's set free from the flesh, when she is set free to the point that her personality, her emotions, her feelings, her life can blossom under the sunshine of Christ Jesus, she will increase her beauty. It is not giving up beauty to dress modestly. It is an increase in beauty. Only it is a kind of beauty that people can actually respect and treat you well over, instead of the kind they just want to play with for their own personal interests. You gain something as a girl extreme by keeping your body in its proper place. And I personally believe we were just talking, a couple of us were just talking about a very specific girl that I won't mention who it is, but we were talking about her the other day, how pretty she is and how she wasn't nearly that pretty just a few years ago. But a few years ago, she was really not in the heart to serve God. She was really rebelling. And she decided she was going to serve God in reality. And she started dropping the things of the flesh one after another. And her beauty visibly increased. One of the things that she did in the course of her life was actually completely change her wardrobe. Probably 6 times. Because every time she got a little bit of interest in dressing a little more modestly, she threw all her clothes in the garbage and went and bought something that was a step better but wasn't good enough. You guys don't need to do that. But after the course of doing it about 6 times, she actually got up to the standard. And now, some years later, after serving God, everybody that I know of that has ever said an opinion says she is really pretty and she really gained a lot of beauty over the years. That wasn't Her face didn't change. Her looks didn't change. She is not a different person as far as she did not go through a stage of getting plastic surgery or anything or changing the way she actually looked. She got her heart in the right place. And girls, now let me tell you something else. If you think that I'm making this easy for you to get really pretty, if you're not, it's not just that easy. Because modesty is only one little aspect of who God wants you to be. Because you can dress as modest as the most modest German Baptist that ever walked the face of the earth and go home and moan on your couch about the way you have to dress and worry about the fact that you're not pretty and fuss with your parents and try to be holy. You're not going to be pretty. In fact, if that described you, you are an ugly person. I can tell you that right now. There is certain things that a girl possesses on the inside that are beauty creators. Her soul. We don't even have a lot of information about what that is. Her personality is sort of the outworking of the soul. We see the soul through the personality. And you know, the personality creates a girl's face, pretty much. You can meet 10 girls all at once. You can look over the pack and you can say, that's my favorite right there. And then spend some time with them, and a year later, your feelings will have completely changed. The one you picked out as your favorite might be your worst a year later. And the one who didn't even stand out of the crowd at the instant of meeting them might be your all-time favorite. I met a girl one time, I don't like her anymore, but I did for a little while, that somebody suggested to me that I should be interested in her. And I just about blew my top. I was like, she's not pretty. I only spent about 2 weeks seeing her a few times, and my mind completely changed. But that girl had a personality like a tornado. I mean, there was just something there. And it didn't take me long. I thought I was falling in love with her. Some of those things that you possess on the inside, if you'll get yourself free, if you'll get yourself happy, you know, when you wake up in the morning and hop out of bed, does your heart feel like singing? If it doesn't, you need some change. If you get out of bed and you feel like this is going to be a bad day to have, your heart needs some change. Now you might both dress modestly and get out of bed in the morning and feel like this is going to be a good day to have, and you might hop out of bed singing and still not be very pretty. Because there's still a whole bunch of other things. You know, God doesn't just want your heart to be right. He actually wants you to carry some things into action. You know, a slow motion person who is a person of no accomplishment. They have no visions. They have no goals. They have no dreams. They aren't living for anything. They can be actually quite happy people sitting on the couch rotting like a rotten potato. But they're not very attractive people. They tend to be the people that don't ever get much attention in life. God does not want you to be right in a couple areas of life. God wants to give you a life more abundant. God wants to put His Spirit in you, where rivers of living water are flowing out of your belly, so that every person you come in contact with feels the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. You get some of the things that God can give you going for you. You will absolutely, without a moment's hesitation to say so, top all the ungodly girls in the world for beauty and attractiveness. Only it's the right kind. It's the kind of beauty and attractiveness that doesn't pull at guys the wrong way. It just makes you loved. And when the right guy comes along that actually is the one who just perfectly fits with your soul, you're going to get married too. I just had a thought that just took off. I was going to finish here. Too bad. I know what it was. You know, I have heard many guys comment on the magazines that you find at the grocery stores, and as though they're dirty. All these magazines that line the checkouts, these are all dirty magazines, because they do always have half-dressed women on them. Okay, now, you know, I agree with these guys that they're dirty, but I have never, as long as I have ever been alive, I have never found those magazines attractive. Never. Because every single one of those girls on those magazines is ruined by sin. Every single one of them. And you know, I can take Nikki, I can put her face next to every single one of those girls on every single magazine cover that exists anywhere on the face of the earth, and she has got 1 million times the beauty that any one of those girls who are stars in the world have. Because those girls are lacking the real beauty. All they're using to be attractive with out in the world is their bodies. And after they do that for a few short years of their life, someday they're going to begin to age, and the world is going to take them just like we take dirty dish rags and throw them into the laundry after we've done our dishes with them. The world is doing the same thing with those girls. They're popular when they're popular, and eventually they're going to lose everything, and the world turns their back on them as with disgust. The mistreatment of girls in America. You girls can all be prettier than those girls. Every person that is sitting in this room tonight can be prettier. If you're a girl, I don't know about you guys. I'm not sure about you. You girls can all be prettier than the girls who are flaunted on all the magazine covers at the grocery stores. If you will let God shape your life. It is what God made you to be. That is what God designed the girl to be. There's no reason that you can't have that. But you're going to have to make some decisions to get in step with God's program if you're going to want His gifts. Because it is when you forsake everything that you have that you receive 100-fold now in this time. So, this is the conclusion. If any of you girls do not dress up to the standards of what I have held up to you, and you think that I am wrong in what I have held up to you, I am very open to you coming and sitting down in my living room with me and Nikki and telling me why I'm wrong. All right? If there is any flagrant discrepancies between what I have spoken, what is decent standards of modesty, if there's any flagrant discrepancies in this church, one of the older women here are bound to come after you if I have anything to do with it. So, you're dismissed.